What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, February 24th, 2026. You know what that means. A brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. Streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel and Facebook page. So hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that notifications bell on YouTube so you know when we are going live each and every week during Purdue basketball season and football season come fall. I'm Tanner Lee. We got a full house. Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. Fellas, how we doing?
Been better. Mostly because I'm sick. And yeah.
I can hear it in your voice. A little nasally.
A little nasally. I'm glad I have a voice. So
will your voice be ready for Thursday night? That's the question.
My voice is always ready to yell at Tom Izzo.
There you go. And whatever referee crew we have.
Yeah.
I thought you were feeling down for other reasons.
No, Lynch.
Nothing to do with video games tonight. In all seriousness, it has been a downer of a past, I would say, 72 hours for the Purdue community. If you haven't heard already, Purdue lost a legend throughout their university, throughout their sports world, throughout, of course, their football program, and Rondale Moore, who passed away Saturday night, took his own life at the young age of 25. Still just trying to come to grips with it, to be honest. I said this on another podcast I do last night, that this athlete's passing has probably hit me harder than any other athlete I've seen pass away in my lifetime.
I'm probably right there with you. Obviously, from a Purdue standpoint, you know, Biggie comes to mind a couple of years ago, but I know as we've kind of talked, like, yeah, it sounds like you could kind of see it didn't come as much of a shock, I feel like, just because of what we knew about, you know, the path he was kind of going down, the struggles he was feeling and experiencing. It was still shocking, but when you heard about it, it wasn't something like this, because it was, you know, health related and things like that. But yeah, this one was, a message board rumor at first, and you were like, this can't be true. And then like, it felt like within, 5 minutes it was everywhere. Couldn't find anything at first. And all of a sudden you see a couple news stations pick it up, and lo and behold, it's unfortunately true.
Yeah, it's tough to take in regards to someone that was committed to the university, like he was during his time, committed to the program and moving it forward. But I think overall it's just terrible for another life loss that still had so much promise, and. Mental state, we don't know how long this started to go, just because the injury started after 2018. The highs he was living on coming out being, he was an Army All-American, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's hard to probably fathom like the highs he was living on and everything you saw in regards to the media and media presence he gave. It was an even keeled guy. Wasn't flashing showboat, just did what it is. But unfortunately, he probably battled demons that no one knew about. And unfortunately, it's hard to seek help probably in that point and being the shame and stuff brought up. But, you know, hopefully you see the outpour just even from the NFL community, that the lives he touched as well. So
I feel like, which makes it even harder, because it's like, you know, all these people are saying great things, like, man, you know, I mean, that's what happens in that situation all too many times with people who do that, who make that choices. It's just, it's such a, you're so clouded that you can't see it. And then obviously until it's too late, but yeah, it just sucks seeing all the, you know, people that I didn't realize knew them, all of a sudden they're like sharing all these really cool stories about them or funny tidbits. And it just shows how much he meant to a lot of people, despite not being, you know, a true NFL star by any means. Really, imagination.
Well, he was definitely, He technically is only one of three to ever be a true freshman All-American with Herschel Walker and AP. So, yeah. Truly what could have been, and also just what could have been life after football and what he could gave to the world.
Yeah, I mean, he graduated in short amount of time. It took tons of credit hours. And what he did on the field in 2018 was miraculous. Like I said, freshman, an All-American as a freshman, made a stamp his first collegiate game on that Thursday night against Northwestern, a losing effort. He had two touchdowns over 300 total yards, was just unbelievable. Like at halftime, we're like, we got a star in the making here, which we've seen other recruits, whether it be basketball or football, coming into Purdue with a lot of hype and not live up to it right away. He lived up to it in this first half. Of course, the rest of that season was great. Of course, October 20th, 2018, 49-20 over number two Ohio State, which he had a career high in receptions for that game with 12, career high in yards. I don't have the number off the top of my head. Of course, the Tyler Trent game. Now looking back on it, I think people will remember also Tyler Trent game, also Rondell Moore game, just because of what has transpired. But I remember going into the 2019 season pumped as I had been in a long time for Purdue football season. So I got Rondell back, got a lot of experience back coming off the
got freshman David Bell, you got freshman George Karloftis coming in.
Sindelar, who had sit out majority of the year before. It had just had all the pieces, and then it was just an injury-ridden season. I mean, Rondell gets hurt with his hamstring on the same place Sindelar hurts his collarbone against Minnesota.
Yeah,
season goes downhill, and then 2020 was the COVID year, which was just so weird, and Rondell only played, I think, half our games. And we didn't get what we should have of his football career at Purdue. We should have got three full years because his mind was always on the NFL, as it should have been. And, to buy his mom a house and everything like he did. And from everything, from the outsider's perspective, he was a pro's pro, good kid, quiet kid. Every time he scored a touchdown, he would flip the ball to the ref. Didn't show a lot of emotion. Business as usual. And, he's one of my all-time favorites. He made Purdue must-watch TV in 2018, even though they went 6-7. Including the bowl loss, but every time he touched the football, he had a chance to take it to the house. And he made Purdue cool. Carson Edwards was making Purdue cool. Something we hadn't really seen in our lifetime to that date.
Yeah. I think it was after Western game. I believe this podcast wasn't even truly the Boiler Breakdown. I think it was still an offshoot of your other podcast. Talking to you. And I think I made the bet essentially that if he doesn't win freshman of the year, I was going to run like a marathon or like a 5K or something.
I
forgot about that until the other day. I was like, wow, I said that, like, just so excited about him. So he'd never really seen anything like him. Maybe the closest was maybe a Dorian Bryant.
Yeah.
Like the most recent from that standpoint. But I remember I was in St. Louis for work for that Northwestern game and just like watching it, like in my hotel, just going, I've never seen this. Like, I've only seen this for other teams. Like, I've never seen this in a Purdue uniform. And it was just, and I was talking with some people yesterday, some coworkers who were like, they were offering condolences as a Purdue fan. And I started talking about it. I was like, it's crazy. Like, really only like all my memories are 2018. Like I said, he got hurt a couple games into the season. 2019 was kind of already off to a bad start with the Nevada game. And I don't even remember watching him in 2020, honestly, like just because it was just such a weird year and nothing really. And that's another thing that kind of sucked was that we were so excited for the David Bell, Rondell Moore duo and never to see what that could have been. Which sucked. And obviously, like, David Bell is a special talent too, but a different talent than what Rondell was.
Yeah. And, I talked about this also on my other podcast, but like in the era where there wasn't NIL, I feel like if there was, he could have just cashed in big time. Now, would he have came to Purdue? Would he have stayed at Purdue? I don't know. I don't know all that, but he obviously wanted to play for Jeff Brohm. And Jeff Brohm utilized him to the best of his abilities and got him drafted second round in the 2021 draft, 17th pick in second round, 49th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. He, of course, would play for the Cardinals for a couple of years, then 1 year for the Falcons. That was cut short due to injury. Then was picked up by the Vikings last year and never got going because he got hurt in the preseason. So,
yeah,
just a tremendous loss. It just, I mean, he was one of my all-time favorites. Absolutely. So fun to watch.
It's crazy to think from the Ohio State game that both, you know, two of the star players from that game are both gone now. Dwayne Haskins as well.
Yeah. Very young. Yeah. It's, and like you mentioned, Webby, you were mentioning Biggie earlier. I mean, we lost Biggie when he was 25 as well. So it's just, yeah, you know, two guys who brought Purdue fans a lot of love and memories and joy and happiness in a short amount of time, gone way too soon.
Yeah, and you go back to that when Lynch mentioned he was an Army All-American, that, I mean, we kind of knew he was going to pick Purdue. Like, it was kind of those things where it's like you knew without it, you know, Brian Newbert really saying it. But I think the hats he had on the table was obviously he was a Texas commit and he had decommitted, but I think he had Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, and Purdue. And right, he actually did the fake out with the Ohio State hat and picked the Purdue one.
Yeah, and then he goes nuts against Ohio State. Pretty fitting.
Right, yeah.
I remember, yeah, but I mean, going into that Northwestern game, I remember that squatting video of him squatting, I think it was 600
some pounds. Yeah, it was like over 600 pounds as an 18-year-old. Yeah. That's definitely nuts.
Like six times body weight, it was insane.
And against Northwestern, he dropped the very first ball thrown to him.
Yeah.
And I remember him smacking himself on the head, and then he went on to have a miraculous.
I think when he caught the touchdown, he like smacked the ball to his helmet, like as like catch it, and then from there it was
yeah. That end around was unbelievable. That's probably the number two play in my mind when I think of Rondell. Of course, number one's a burst of speed. He's still going. But also an underrated one a lot of people forget about because it was an overtime losing effort to Wisconsin was that spin move against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That was a nuts one too. And he had some other good ones that didn't go for touchdowns against like Illinois and Nebraska that year.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, I remember being at the drubbing that was the Music City Bowl. Tanner, you and I were talking, so sitting there like Rondale's the only player on this field that
only one
that belongs on this field.
Only right one now that could have started for Auburn.
Yeah, it was, and obviously, there was the whole, Jeff Brohm to Louisville rumors after his freshman year, and it sounded pretty apparent that if Brohm was leaving, number four was going with him.
Yeah, I think four would have went with him. I think
five would have went with him.
Five. I was thinking, what was George's number in college? Five.
Maybe even three.
Yeah,
three would have went.
Yeah,
Sindelar would have went. Sindelar would have went.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost it would have been Max Exodus back to dumpster fire pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man, it just thoughts and prayers to his family and his friends, former players that played with him, coaches. I'm sure, you know, as much as we don't really root for Jeff Brohm, hearts out to Jeff Brohm too. I'm sure he's taking this extremely hard. Just tough. It's been a tough last few days.
Yeah. Yes, it has.
But I do have a trivia question.
Okay.
And it's got to do with Rondell Moore. Like I mentioned earlier, he was drafted second round, 49th overall in 2021 draft. Before Rondell Moore, who was the most recent wide receiver from Purdue to be drafted in the NFL draft?
Go ahead. I got to think. Drafted.
We've had two since him. David Bell and Charlie Jones.
Yeah.
I want to know who was the most recent before him.
Do you count the supplemental draft of Milton Wright?
No. Absolutely not. Did he even get drafted to that?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
I don't remember that. Why? I have a guess, and it feels like an absolutely terrible guess because we were awful. But did, like, D'Angelo Yancey get drafted by, like, the Packers or something? That's what I'm thinking of.
Lynch,
or someone in that realm.
You are right. He did get drafted. I was thinking it was Anthony Mahungu after the bowl performance.
Webby's right. D'Angelo Yancey, 2017, fifth round, 31st pick in the fifth round.
Was the Packers?
Yep.
Damn.
Yes.
Great freshman year, pretty good senior year, nothing in between there.
Yeah. So it's like, I remember like when he got drafted, I was like, because again, we were awful. It was like, because like, how are we getting guys drafted when we can't win a game?
Yeah. But yeah, I did when he got drafted. So I remember he got drafted, but I didn't know Anthony Mahomgu got actually drafted. Yeah,
he did not.
I thought when they drafted him, Aaron Rodgers is going to make him like an all pro. And I was going to be like, man, that would have just been harder on like the Haysel era.
There was only before Yancey, there was only one other wide receiver drafted in the 2000s out of Purdue.
What, was this Stanford?
He wasn't drafted.
I said, was he a practice squad for the Colts or something? Or
yeah, in the Lions, and he played a couple games for the Lions. Lions, too.
That's what I'm thinking. Lions, yeah.
But he's on Colts practice squad too.
Yeah,
Greg Gordon.
Greg Gordon did not get drafted.
Okay, what other receiver in the 2000s?
Man. It's a position that Purdue just hadn't had a lot of guys drafted. No. I mean,
I have no idea who was it.
Vinny Sutherland, fifth round. Fifth pick in the 2001 draft.
Sorry, Vinny, if you're watching.
Which they had five guys get drafted in 2001. Before him, you have to go back to 1998. Brian Alford was the ninth pick in the third round by the New York Giants.
Do we really consider Dustin Keller a tight end, though?
Yeah.
He was more he started a tweener. I mean, he was an inline
tight end. He was definitely a modern day tight end.
Yes, he was.
Years too soon.
Well before his time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Purdue's had other guys make it in the pros, but they were just undrafted. So, yep.
I thought it was a trick question when you – I thought it was. So, good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, any other final thoughts about Rondale before we switch gears and talk some basketball?
It sucks. I mean, it's crazy, you know, what – how much impact he had on 1 year, and just like part of that, obviously the year before Purdue had gotten to a bowl and won and all that, but he was part of that, you know, resurgence to making Purdue somewhat relevant. And obviously we were probably more relevant during that year than even we were when we won 9 games or even went to the Big Ten championship. We had Rondale. It's just so unfortunate for everybody involved, and just the ultimate what could have been type of thing. And just it sucks that, you know, so many good people have, you know, like are just dealt a really crappy hand in life with all of his injuries and all that, which I mean, I can't imagine, obviously never even been close to performing at that high of a level, but I have to think, you know, if when you have those injuries and you can no longer do what you're feel like you're destined to do, it's like, do you feel like you have a purpose? I don't know. Obviously we'll never know what he was truly feeling, but I just listen to other athletes talk and other, you know, people like that. It's like, you know, when you lose that, it's, you're losing essentially, you know, who are as a person, unless you can find something else to navigate to, which really sucks.
And I know I text you guys this in our group text message, but you know how basketball recently has come out with a legend series of NIL gear, jerseys, t-shirts, sweatshirts, Robbie Hummel, Biggie Swanigan, Carson Edwards, Troy Lewis, Glenn Robinson, Dave Shieldhouse. Uh-huh. I'm sure I'm missing a couple others. I'm sure it'll grow. Rick Mount, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm hoping football does the same, and maybe it's too soon for this year, but in the future, I'm hoping to Rondale Moore and proceeds go to his family.
Yeah, same.
There probably will be, but yeah. I guess we'll leave this out there. If anyone's dealing with anything situational wise, reach out. I mean, you don't have anyone, call 988 in regards to a crisis hotline and seek help. Yeah. Suicide's not the answer.
Yeah,
you always meet something to somebody out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well said. Well said. Switching gears to a basketball game that happened Friday night. The Boilermakers had their biggest win over the Hoosiers in the series since 1969, which that really surprised me, to be honest, when I saw that. Mm-hmm. But this was a game that the score, in my opinion, was closer than the game really was. Purdue won 93-64 on an unbelievable night of shooting, unbelievable night of offense from the Boilermakers, in which they shot the highest field goal percentage of the Matt Painter era for a single game.
Picked a good night to do it.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, especially like coming into it, you know, there was stats of like showing that how much better Purdue was away from Mackey than they were, just obviously just really bizarre. But it was nice to kind of have some home cooking. Home finally.
Definitely motivated as I thought they would be to go out and prove a point, and they did. I think.
I kind of worried coming. Obviously, you know, we're not on the team or part of the team, but I remember like I just felt so deflated all week after that Michigan game, just because I'm just like, you know, that was, you know, again, kind of we talk about after the pod was like, that's who I was hoping Purdue would be, and just how they were just kind of just dominated for that whole game, just kind of felt flat. I'm glad the team didn't follow how I was feeling, because that could have easily been another two game skid.
They're truly the only thing nitpick is free throws.
Yeah,
game. And yeah, I mean, you tied a season high on attempts of 25, but then only shot 68%.
Yeah, just talking to the guy next to me, because Trey was like, started out like 4-4, 6-6.
I feel like I jinxed that.
Yeah. And then like he missed for like, water's finding its level. Like, yep.
Because he shot him good shot against Michigan too. I'm like, he's figured something out. And then,
It was like there was one he had that was just like a straight line shot. We're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And then Daniel missed some.
He's not a good free throw shooter.
No.
He needs to work on that in the offseason.
He was the only player I came out of Friday a little disappointed in.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's becoming kind of a common theme.
Abused in the post, I will say.
Even though we got a pretty kind whistle, I thought. I mean, they called a lot on Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying they weren't fouls, but I had no problem with the officiating at all Friday night. So, and I thought I would with that crew. So,
yeah.
But Braden played great. TKR played great. Fletcher played great. You know, they wanted to even up this series. Assuming we don't play them in the Big Ten tournament, they go out 500 against them 4-4, which they should have had a winning record against Indiana in these 4 years. But it is what it is.
I mean, Omar, you had, I think, outside of last year, every game down there was single digits. Last year they kind of took it to us. You know, their freshman year was they got down huge. They came back, and I think like never could get it like below five. Sophomore year they took it to them down there. Last year they lost by 15, and this year they lost by five again.
What year was Hitch Pino? Was that 2 years ago now?
That was their freshman year.
That was their freshman. Okay. Yeah. That's when he came and just lit up
35.
Okay. I thought it was 2 years ago in my head. It's not 2025.
It went by fast. And then Omar.
18 points. Just he had a heck of a week.
I don't care if a lot of it was when the game was already out of reach, but like I love to see him making shots and not afraid to take the shots. That's just gonna give him confidence down the stretch.
Yeah, he's quietly becoming a pretty good 3-point shooter in conference play. Like he started out pretty bad, but he's, you know, and probably since mid January, he's really come on. And it was, it was cool to see, like I said, it was garbage time, but you know, it was nice to see shots. He had a clock shot, which was awesome. And just seeing him kind of basking Mackey going nuts for him was really cool.
The only thing I was disappointed was hoping Aaron Fine would get played. Be player of the game, get playing time.
Hey, he scored.
I know. He did. But
crapped when we put our walk-ons in and the free throw, the starters in.
Yeah.
I'm like, poor Aaron Fine.
It's like, you're mugged.
God. Then finally he put a walk-on. I didn't think he was going to do it.
I didn't think so either.
There's been other games he hasn't. He hasn't. So
I mean, I don't think Green did in 2013.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And we won by like 37.
but enjoyable game. I didn't yell in anger or anything on my TV. It was a pretty relaxing game. You know, at half we're up 16. I'm like, all right, first 5 minutes of the half's gonna be big. Indiana's probably gonna make a run. They didn't.
Yeah, the start of the game when Wilkerson was missing, but DeVries was hitting some of those
tough shots. Tough ones. My God.
I was like, oh crap.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights.
But they were able to kind of shut him down. And yeah, the credits to the defense for stopping Wilkerson, who's a hell of a player.
Yeah, all his was garbage time.
Yeah, he had 2 points at half. Just didn't make it. And that was like the IU fan that was sitting behind me. He was just like, we just cannot get an easy shot. And it was nice because it was, you know, it wasn't just they were just missing open shots. It was because Purdue was making.
Yeah.
Just awesome to see because we just haven't really seen that a lot this year, which was very nice to see.
It felt like it got all the bad juju from the week out. Everybody's feeling pretty good now with another big one coming up Thursday night, a top 15 ranked Michigan State Spartan team that, believe it or not, the hottest team in the Big Ten because they've won two in a row. Them and Minnesota have both won two in a row. Nobody else is on a two-game win streak. Always fun to play them, especially at Mackey. Purdue's had a lot of success, especially recent against the Spartans. Lone matchup with them unless you see them in the Big Ten tournaments. Thursday night game, which is nice. Don't have many of those. It is on Peacock, 8 o'clock. I expect a physical battle.
Yeah, as it always is with Michigan State. That actually kind of leads me to my blind rankings if you want me to get into it. Keeping with the theme here, I have 5 games against the Spartans, and I want you to rank them on the satisfaction you felt from Purdue winning these games.
Ooh, I like this.
Starting off strong, January 16, 2023, number 3 Purdue goes into East Lansing and wins 64-63. This was the game on MLK Day. It was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I actually went back and watched some of the highlights. So Tyson Walker hit.
Mitch Miller on Facebook. Hopefully we don't get tripped up.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll trip somebody or kick somebody in the balls or something.
Yeah. But in this game. Yeah, Tyson Walker hit a shot with 10 seconds to go, 63-62 lead. Purdue takes the ball down. Braden Smith sprints down the court, gives it up to Fletcher, who makes three pass to Edie that from like 5 feet beyond the 3-point line. It was a hell of a
fire death then. Yeah,
yep. Kind of does a move, does a spin move, and kind of lays it in with, I think I have it here, like 2 seconds left. The highlights I was watching, I totally forgot about this. The highlight skipped it. But because they had I think we scored like 2.1 seconds left. And then the next part is Michigan State is inbounding it on their side with 1.8 to go. And Tyson Walker got a really good look from three and missed it. Mm-hmm. And then later on, Purdue would win the matchup at Mackey 77-61 later that year. But
I'm going with number 3 here. Big win, huge win in dramatic fashion. There's a couple others, though, I felt even more excited afterwards. Maybe it's because our program wasn't in the state it's in then and now at the time. So, but good one. Very good one.
This one, I'm going to put it at number 2. It was definitely exciting because I remember Tyson Walker hit some, those are like rainbow jays of like Keaton Grant kind of just throwing up.
Yeah,
I just,
he's a hell of a player. Yeah.
He was.
Well, the year before we lost a heartbreaker up there. So it's like, God, are we going to lose another heartbreaker, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
But this was, national broadcast too, excellent. It was on Fox, if I remember, on Fox. By the way, I'm going to put a bow on the IU game. Please do not put Gus Johnson on those calls anymore.
Or Steve Smith. Yes. My God, he was getting people wrong left and right. Peter, did he call Daniel Jacobson Peter Jacobson, who was the golfer?
Yes.
And then he said, he said some Foster lawyers that are Fletcher's.
Yes.
I guess I get that one, but still, like, come on.
It's been like 3 years since he graduated. Like,
Foster couldn't lace up his brother's shoes. Come on.
Right. Yeah. All right. So we got 3 and number 2.
Yep.
I think this one would be close to number 2. That I was jacked up after that game. Yep. I was hype. All right. Number 2. The following year, March 2nd, 2024, number 2, Purdue clinched a share of the Big Ten title for the second straight year after beating Michigan State 80-74. That was at Mackey, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember like
the lone matchup we had that year with
them. It was an odd game, feeling like we should have whooped them and we couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching like in the highlights, and it was like we were up like 10 to like around 10 points and they kept scoring at the end. Mm-hmm. And like we like they'd foul us and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was closer than it really should have been.
I'll go 5. It just, it's not real engraved in my head for some reason.
I just remember the end of the game and the clinching the share of the Big Ten on this one. So I'll I'm going to say it was 5-2.
That 5, okay. January 8th, 2021, Purdue goes into the Breslin Center with a record of 7-5 at the time and wins 55-54 during the COVID year after Travion Williams hits a nice little floater. And again, Michigan State has a chance to win at the end, but misses the shot.
I got to go 4 just because of being the COVID year itself. Yeah. Was just such a weird year and a forgettable year. But I do remember Travion playing well. I remember Ethan Morton doing something important at the end of the game. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but he had an important play. But it was a big win at Michigan State, and you got to like any win at Michigan State. So I'll put at 4. Wish I could have put at 5 just because that year was weird. But
did Travion have a massive double this game? I feel like it.
I think that was Michigan.
Like, Michigan, he had like
the year before 30 and 20. Yeah.
20. Yes, yeah. That's the game I was right. Remember, mix them up. Right state, wrong schools.
Yeah.
I'll go 4 on this one. I don't remember much of it.
I remember I was watching this. My wife and I were at a Mexican restaurant near our house, and I was watching it on my phone or on her phone or something. And again, we were 7-5, like not a whole lot, you know, new team, like a lot of young team. It was a COVID year. So I was like, I'm just happy to be watching basketball. And I remember he hit that shot. And it took me so much to not just scream in the restaurant. all right. So you got.
I got 3. 1 and 2.
You have 1 and 2. You'll probably be happy with that. Number 4, January 24th, 2017. Caleb Swanigan plays his only game at the Breslin Center and leads number 20 Purdue to an 84-73 victory. Biggie scored 25 on 8 of 13 shooting and added 17 rebounds.
Yeah, he dominated. He put a statement on that game. I'm putting it at number 2.
Yeah.
3 for sure. That was a statement game because that was the year after Valentine and graduated for them, right?
Might have been 2 years after Valentine graduated. I know Miles Bridges scored 33 for Michigan State that game. But
I thought it was the year after. I thought Valentine went out on 16.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Because I remember before the year, there was some – he did some interview or something going on, like with Big Ten. I'm guessing it was like Big Ten Media Day when he was there. And they're like, anything else you want to add? And he's like, I can't wait to play at Michigan State. It's like, okay, game on, I guess. And yeah, he showed out. You probably guessed what was coming. February 9th for the last one, 2016. Number 18, Purdue outlast number 8, Michigan State in overtime at Mackey Arena, 82-81. I forgot. I was at this game. I actually ended up meeting Robbie at Harry's later that night. He walked in with some former players. Got a pick with him. We were up 16 at halftime. I forgot that.
Yeah, they came storming back.
Yeah. Purdue was led in scoring by Rayfield Davis with 24, who was
six. Yeah, he shot lights out that night.
6 of 8 from 3. I think I saw – I think – yeah, I haven't heard yet. Purdue actually went 8 of 16 from 3, and the other two people who hit a 3 was like Dakota and freshman Ryan Klein. A.J. Hammonds added 19 and 13 and went 7 of 9 from the line. I remember him hitting some big free throws and getting some big rebounds. Mm-hmm. They were the only two players. Purdue scored 82 points, and Hammonds and Rayford were the only two people scoring double digits.
Wow.
Double figures, I should say. Like, there was, like, if you look at the box score, it was actually very balanced. They said Purdue shot 8 of 16 from deep. Purdue had 16 turnovers, including 6 from freshman Caleb Swanigan, who his freshman year had a 25% turnover rate.
That was one of the louder games I can remember Mackey being there in person for. And this was – it's close between Illinois and Michigan State, who I hate more right now. Yeah. But back then, it was definitely Michigan State. Now it's about the height of my hatred for them in that era. So I'm glad this one was safe for number 1 because, I remember that one pretty well.
Yeah, and Denzel Valentine scored 27. And another note I have here, speaking of Valentine, our everyone's favorite TV Teddy officiated this game.
but honestly, my favorite win over Michigan State wasn't on this list.
Oh, really?
2010 up at the Breslin Center.
I almost put that one. I just didn't remember it nearly as much. I didn't have a whole lot of factoids about it, but
I just remember, I forget what, both teams were ranked really well. And we went up there, and I just remember we kicked their teeth in the first half. And they were trying to make a run, and Robbie hit like a NBA range 3 at the buzzer to get the halftime and get us like a 15-point lead. And we just never – I mean, we won at there and then turned around and won at Columbus. It was like our statement to the nation. Like, we are here. We're not messing around. We're wearing those beautiful black roadie unis. Like,
yeah. Because the second Michigan State game was the game after Robbie
got hurt. Yes. Yeah. And like, growing up, I couldn't remember us ever winning at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Just like that year winning at Assembly Hall was a rarity. Yeah. Now it happens about every other year. So,
yeah.
Good list, though.
Yeah, very good list.
It was fun to go back and as I find these games, I was looking and it was just kind of fun to watch some of the highlights, and like, especially like just seeing some of the players like from Michigan State. I was like, oh wow,
sure.
I forgot about all of these guys. Sure. Like, we're just seeing some of the box scores and just seeing like that the 2016 game was, we played a lot of guys and they all had like 6 to 8 points. Besides Ray and AJ, but yeah.
Another good memory I have, we were a lot younger. I think it was the 03 season, either 03 or 04. We beat Michigan State in overtime. I remember we were wearing gold jerseys. We wore gold a bunch that year. Yeah. And somebody from Michigan State, they had the ball late in regulation. It was tied. And they were going for a buzzer beater. And the ball got stuck. Literally got stuck on the backboard and the plate of the back of the basket. And jump ball. The game went overtime that we beat them. And that's when Michigan State, you know, was making – they were just 3 years off a national title, made a Final Four or two after that, and had other guys like Shannon Brown, Ager, Paul Davis.
That 2003 game, that might have been the game. There was the – I don't know if you remember, Tan. They used to do the whole thing where they would pick people to come down and sit behind the bench. My dad and I got
that
picked.
Was the game.
My dad and I got picked for Michigan State down game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if we won that. I know, I remember going to overtime.
We won that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember if we won. I just remember
Brandon McKnight had a good game.
Yeah. I just remember like being so excited to go down there. And then you're like,
your dad about fell.
Yeah.
Down the stairs. He stumbled a little bit.
He was showboating.
He was doing this.
Yeah. He was showboating a little bit and about fell. But I remember, we get there and it's like, you're so excited to sit behind the bench until the players stand up. You can't see anything.
My dad always reminisces when the Fab Five came into Mackey one year. Him and my uncle had first row seats in the corner right by one of the benches, and they could barely see like any of the game because the players stood pretty much the whole game for that one. So, Good list, though. Good list.
Now you're throwing out this, and I was thinking this because I actually thought you were going to bring a players list of most like hated Michigan State players.
That crossed my mind, yeah.
Draymond Green, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was going to put Kalen Lucas up there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fastest guard I remember. But, like, I remember this is when Ezo started recruiting athletes. I don't remember a player that could actually play. They have one on the team right now, but play and was a straight athlete like Shannon Brown.
Nah, he was a baller. Jumped early to go pros. And
360, I remember in the NBA, he grabbed that block straight off the backboard.
I mean, well, who was – I just blanked on his name because I saw him in the highlights, but there was the kid that Purdue was recruiting forever, and this is, like, right when I was, like, really – this is, like, Tanner, when you started, you'd share messages from the boards. And
was it Dawson? Brendan Dawson? Oh, Malik Hall. Yeah.
We were, like, his, like, favorite – or we were, like, his top school, and then, like, Michigan State was his favorite school, and then, like, because he got offered and then immediately listed like top five schools and they were on it. And that's when it was like, oh boy, I think this is not going to end. Well, it's like, I remember being devastated that he picked. And we needed a four so badly.
My hatred for Michigan State grew because we were always battling Michigan State for recruits and we would not win. I'm like, Painter went out of his way, traveled overseas multiple times, watched Jaren Jackson Jr. Recruited him harder than anybody. Izzo comes in one time for a visit. Boom.
Yeah.
It was just infuriating.
Yeah.
And Gary Harris, Brendan Dawson.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always like Purdue would have all this legwork, and then that's kind of where the whole like the board thing, like the congrats Izzo thing came from. It was like Purdue would recruit a kid for 3 years, and Izzo would come in their senior year, and it's like, oh, congrats Izzo, you got him. Yep. Just went around to see who Painter was recruiting.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't run into that as much as we used to.
Yeah.
Well, it's also Michigan State's not the same program anymore.
Right. Purdue's kind of the new Michigan State in a way. In a way.
I would say their athletic program, but just entirely, is just it.
It's scummy.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Do we want to preview, talk about the game, or we want to go through some Big Ten games real quick?
Doesn't matter to me. Whatever you guys want.
I
we can talk about the game. We can talk about the game.
Okay. So, Webby, you're going this. This is probably the last hardest test left on the schedule, I would say, outside of
Wisconsin. Wear white, everybody. Wear white.
Yes. Yeah. White out. I don't know if people are still going to – that probably aren't – well, no, they're probably not listening to this podcast.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
But we're still have, I think, from this weekend getting revealed, they were a second seed on the preview. I think this game has more weight now than we probably thought in regards to last week and the gravitas, especially after losing to Michigan. Thoughts going in now, is this a must-win game in regards to maybe potentially keeping that one seed alive, given that some losses have happened in the Big 12?
Not only that, if you want the double bye in the Big 10, it's a must-win game.
Yeah, so. I've kind of given up hope on a one seed just because, I mean it is possible.
We need
a lot of help. We need a lot of help. But I think, yeah, if you want the two seed, you've got to win this one. And obviously you can't fumble your away games with Northwestern, Ohio State, like those teams that you're going to be favored probably by double digits by. Maybe not Ohio State. I don't know yet. They're an interesting team. But, yeah, this is definitely one that it's going to be a challenge. They play really good defense. I mean, at one point, they were the number one defense in KenPom for a while. But, yeah, it's – and you obviously have the point guard matchup of Braden versus Fears, which is going to be hopefully an exciting one, one that I'm sure both guys are going to take.
Hope he wears a cup.
Yeah, they're going to take seriously and should hopefully bring out the best in both guys. So it's going to definitely be a game where the other guys step up for Purdue and need knockdown shots.
I still think, yes, there's a lot of stuff that can happen to get the one seed, but if you – win your next four, you win the Big Ten tournament because you're probably going to have to face Michigan or Illinois.
Yeah,
there is a chance to be that fourth one seed.
Yeah, which I guess the one thing bad about the Big Ten tournament be always being the last game going into the selections, they usually already have the seeding made up, and that game usually doesn't.
Well, they claim they have a bracket for each team. It's like I believe that when I ever see it, because I feel like there's so many times where Purdue has won or lost, and their seeding hasn't changed.
Right, exactly. So,
but the thing is, let's say Michigan, Illinois is on one side of the bracket, we're on the other side of the bracket, how things turn out. If Illinois wins, Michigan's out on Saturday. Someone's playing for that last four seed, because fourth one seed. Therefore, it is possible. Because, I mean, I was just reading KenPom earlier before. Like, Illinois is fourth in KenPom right now, and we're seventh. So, you're splitting hairs if Michigan does drop that one game. So, there could be two – whoever the loser is going to be a two seed potentially. But then the winner could be the last one seed is kind of what I'm just saying. Yeah, it's not the Midwest region. It's probably the West region or South region. Would it be the South region? Zona would get West region.
Yeah, Duke would get East. So, yeah, it's going to be the South or Midwest, which, you know, Iowa State's obviously still in the mix, even though they lost, but they still have plenty of opportunities in the Big 12. But also, same opportunities to lose, too.
Also, Florida could be in play for the South because the SEC.
Yeah. Florida is I do not want them in our bracket.
they got size, experience.
Yeah.
Good coaching, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But everything is still on the table. That's, I would say, looking a month ago with a three loss, and then we have the performance. You went on Tuesday night. That's another one. Then I do not like Sunday's matchup more than anything, but hopefully that can go to Ohio State and win, and then play Martelli and the whatever team that is.
I think Purdue will have a good showing from fans on Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot of tickets available.
I would hope. But
I know my parents are going. That was my Christmas present. My wife and I's Christmas present to them was tickets for that game. So.
Nice, yeah.
But it's still in play. I know you went through that comment up, Tanner, just came across.
I think Michigan is locked, Mitch Melton says on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, only two losses they'd have to lose.
They have to fall and trip on their face and lose to Minnesota and a few others.
Yeah.
Or get bounced first round of the Big Ten tourney. I mean, there's still possibilities.
Yeah.
But it's favorable. Do we want to be player of the game?
Sure.
All that, then we'll go pick some games. Yep. All right. Go for it. One of you two can lead it off.
I will take Fletcher Lawyer. He likes to play against Michigan teams a lot of times because he grew up in Michigan until he was a junior in high school, then moved to Fort Wayne. Last time he'll play against Sparty, unless meeting the Big Ten tournaments. I think he has a 20 burger Thursday night.
I like Fletcher. It. I'm going to go Purdue 75, Michigan State 66. Player of the game. I'm going to go Oscar Clough in this one. He's had some quiet nights the last two games. I think we're going to need his size down low against Cooper and Kohler and those guys. So, but my spicy prediction, we hold fears to less than 10 assists.
I like that. Yeah, I'd feel good if we did that. I forgot to throw out my score prediction and spicy bowl. The score prediction, 80-69. Bowl prediction, Omer, a double-digit scoring again.
Nice.
Okay. Score for me would be 73-65 Purdue. I think Mackey, this is where Mackey will explode on Thursday. And be loud. I think the Fletcher is probably a good thing. I think he probably goes off. I think he probably I really would love him to tie Gillis's 3-point record.
Well, me, you and me both,
he's,
brother.
I think he's 14 away from breaking Carson's record for most threes. Yes. So
yes, I saw that still before crazy we walked Carson on.
Had 3 freaking years.
I know. And not starting as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We're going to do it. Fletcher has 9 threes.
I would love it.
If he does that, I think we win on a route.
Yeah. Bowl prediction. I was there for Mason's 8, so I'd love
it. How is that not a bowl prediction?
Oh, player of the game. Sorry, player of the game. It would have to be him because he's probably going to have 30 points at that point.
That's got to go hand in hand there.
I was going to say Izzo getting ejected, but
well, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And like I text you guys, it just kind of hit me the other day. I'm like, wow, Trey, Braden, and Fletch only have 2 home games left. It just kind of hit me. I'm like, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, Fletch even during the Indiana, he 3 games left. Games in this building left. Let's take it, make the most of it. And man, it's wild.
Yeah. Team's going to look a whole lot different next year. For sure.
Enjoy it. Be optimistic. Do not get on that train of doubt or anything else. Stay on my optimistic train that I've been riding all season. There's still a lot of games to go.
Yeah. Got to give you credit. You even stayed optimistic in a 3 game losing streak, which I think Webby and I were about ready to.
Yeah. That was. Quit the dark place.
Not quit watching, but
I mean. I'm not giving up. It's a very good team. I don't know. It's not elite, but it's a very good team. It's just whatever the draw is going to be at that point is whatever it's going to be.
A lot can happen in March.
Yep. Correct. I am not ready for Labor Day to be here. I am not. I do not want to get back on this podcast.
You'll be ready when it comes around.
No, I will not.
After a summer.
No, I'm going to still say wake me up in September. If we go 4-0, then sure. All right, let's go pick some games. We're not going to – what's the score of the IU game right now?
IU was only up 1 last time I knew with 5 minutes left.
It's 1 with 3 minutes to go. They're up 1.
If they lose that, they're done.
Yep, yeah, they're cooked. They are cooked.
I don't think they're a very good team anyways.
No, they're not.
Martin Ellis to 3.
Hell yeah. All right. Next game on the docket tonight, Minnesota at Michigan.
Michigan large.
I think Michigan's up by 40 at one point.
Yeah. You're not spinning your head on this one. Stop it.
Let's shock the world, baby.
I hope you're right, but yeah, well, do I at this point? Because that means Illinois is going to probably find a way to win the conference.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
He can gloat. I don't care.
I care.
I do. Got to put up with him every Monday.
All right. Battle of LA next game. SC versus UCLA.
UCLA.
Did Mick Cronin save his job?
Yeah. Probably. Unless he's just trying to get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I could see him get like in Ohio State if Ohio State fires Diebler and or even like, I mean, I think Wes Miller saved his job potentially with that win with that ass whooping at Kansas. Mm-hmm.
They're losing go back to Cincinnati. By double digits tonight, but
yeah, they were last when I first checked, they were up a little bit, but
heck, St. Louis getting routed at Dayton tonight, so yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, heck of a win for UCLA to come back against Illinois. It was one of those things where I saw the score and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Illinois is going to, you know, have a combined, you know, 50-point wins in their LA trip. And then also I looked at the score like, oh, they're up like 7. What the heck? And I turned it on and I watched the whole second half and that was wild.
You got to learn how to cut the defender off. Late in the game going coast to coast. But Caleb Gerald on Facebook said his predictions this week, Purdue 67, Michigan State 69, Purdue 78, Ohio State 64. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, next game. I'm going tomorrow, Maryland at Nebraska.
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 Yep, clean sweep on that one. Ohio State at Iowa.
Big game for both.
Yeah, I think Iowa gets it because they're at home.
Yep, I agree.
I think this puts the nail in the coffin for Diebler, in my opinion. I think Cronin wants to leave California for taxes purpose. Ohio's a lot cheaper.
That's true. It's true. I want to say still has some chances. They have some other big games. But, yeah, they're still on the outside looking in.
Well, no, we're not losing them. So they have very few opportunities left.
Yeah.
At that point. All right. Wisconsin and Oregon.
Wisconsin, Oregon.
Wisconsin. All right. Our game we've already done. Friday night game. National game primetime hoops of the week. Michigan at Illinois. Johnson on the call.
Illinois comes out too juiced. It's a similar game to ours, Michigan.
I wonder because Illinois has the size to compete with Michigan. Like that was one thing I think that Purdue just didn't have was just good size. But I think Michigan's size is too physical. Illinois is not a physical size in terms of like, I feel like a lot of times they get rebounds just because of their size, not because of their aggressiveness. Like Marez Johnson is an absolute animal.
Yep.
I'm sure he's going to get booed out the freaking gym. Mm-hmm. I think Michigan wins a closer game than ours, but I think Michigan pulls that one out.
Isevich, is that how to say its name? Isevich, I can't get that center's name.
I don't know. Brad likes to recruit all the Europeans. That's hard to pronounce names.
I can't say his last. I hear it in my head right, but I can't say it right. I think he's going to be the
difference. I think it's a Visage.
Visage. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are right. I think he's going to be the difference maker because him shooting just 3-point shots. If they're dropping, they win. For our purposes, I want Illinois to win. I want the number one to see the last one. So
just say you got Michigan going over two this week.
Yeah. Dusty may lose his coach of the year too. All right, Iowa at Penn State.
Iowa in a scary one for them.
Yeah, yeah. Single-digit game.
I actually wonder if Shrewsbury regrets leaving Penn State now for Notre Dame.
They're getting doubled up by Duke right now.
Yeah.
They're losing by more than they've scored.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He might get fired tonight. Marcus Burton's out for the season,
about that. Yeah,
94-50 with 3:39 left.
Jeez, my God!
All right, Oregon.
Maybe he gets the Ohio State job.
No.
They were down 54-22 at half.
He might get Butler's job.
That would be a good move for him.
It would be. Indiana person, that on the way out, perfect.
Yeah.
The spread was 16.5 tonight. It's currently at 45.5.
Yeah.
Oh, that program just sucks.
Hey, Minnesota is up 2 halfway through the first half.
There we go. Oregon at Chicago's only team to be.
I guess Northwestern because they're home. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're a sicko if you watch this game, Webby.
Yeah, probably.
Probably would be. I'll go through just the rest of – I'll go through a couple other games, I think, because these other ones kind of meaningless. Nebraska at USC Saturday afternoon.
Nebraska.
Yep.
On Sunday with our game, I'll get ours last, but Michigan at IU.
Michigan State,
at IU. Sorry.
Smarty.
That's a big game.
Especially if Indiana loses, Smarty.
Yeah, they're down 4 right now with 48 seconds left. My God.
Unbelievable.
They do have the ball, but it's timeout.
They're getting the buyout ready already.
I think Michigan State's defense is going to be the difference in that one. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be in the 60s. But, yeah, give me Sparty in that one.
All right, in our game at Columbus.
I've been nervous about this game all year just because Teebler's got our number for some reason. But I don't know. I don't want to say that because that would be terrifying. I was going to say just like Fletcher's freshman year, he hits a big shot, but that was a game-winning shot. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be that close. I'll say Broilers 84-70.
77-62, Purdue.
Okay.
Thornton gets in foul trouble. 78-52, Purdue.
I like it.
We played good on the road. Last time we had Sunday CBS against Maryland. So
yeah, and we're the early game on CBS on Sunday. Yeah, CBS Purdue. Does both games.
Yep.
All right, let's pay some bills.
Let's do it.
All right, the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since '93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known as the home of the original cheesesteak. But when any of the Boiler Breakdown crews in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is the Taste of Chicago. This is the last week we can get it. So is their signature ranch topped with spicy capicola, salami, red onions, Chicago style spicy jardiniere, and mozzarella cheese. Finished with an Italian aioli drizzle. So next time you're in town, order online, use promo code BREAK526. That's BREAK526 for $5 off any online order. That could be cheese sticks, pizza of the month, grinders, you name it. Mad Mush got it all. Don't know if you guys have checked out if they have any other weekly specials going on their socials, but also check those out when you're in town. They're running them. I guess they're probably going to have one for St. Patrick's Day coming up.
We'll have a new pizza of the month to talk about next week. So,
hopefully, a new Irish theme. That'd actually be a really interesting pizza. So,
I got to ask, Webby, was that your wife in the background? I just heard like a minute ago.
Yeah. They're down by 2. Northwestern had the ball, and Martinelli had a turnover, really dumb turnover. And then IU was driving, missed the layup, and one of the guys went up for a dunk. And just fell down, missed the dunk, but fell down, and they called a foul on Northwestern, even though he didn't touch him. So they'll probably have 2 shots with 16 seconds left to tie it.
I'm tempted to go turn on my TV, but I don't want to walk across the room. So
I don't know how that was a foul.
Oh, here we go again, Wisconsin all over again.
Yeah, Martinelli has been incredible, but yeah, he just like dribbling, trying to get fouled, and he just turned, and the ball just got poked right out of his. But I'm wearing a script shirt. I've been meaning to get the shop some stuff from the shop. Tanner's got something on as well.
My world's largest drum shirt.
World's largest drum. I've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in garages. Now they've got 3 retail locations, 1 in Carmel, 1 in Broad Ripple, 1 in downtown Indy. So if you're in town, stop on by. They got plenty of stuff. Just came out with some newer produced stuff, like a Mackey Arena t-shirt. But if you're wanting to shop online, can't make it down to Indy, go to theshopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown for free shipping.
Yeah, they got tons of great stuff. Indiana must have made one of two because now it says Northwestern two free throws awarded.
Yeah, he missed it, and Northwestern got the rebound.
So, yeah, but go on theshopindy.com if you can't get it to any of the retail locations. Like Evan said, tons of great stuff, all kinds of sports, and Indiana-themed apparel.
Yep.
Closing thoughts.
Let's get two.
Hopefully. Yep, let's get two. On other news, I hope Jaden Ivey finds a spot and a role. I mean, hearing Billy Donovan say he doesn't move like he did in his early career, it sounds like that. Knee injury last year was pretty career-altering.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he broke his leg, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think he tore some ligaments.
He broke the ball and tore ligaments. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, and that's he relies on his athleticism. So
it was kind of like Rondale Moore. Like that's what set them apart, was just their freak athleticism.
Yep. Yep. And work ethic. So, but let's boil it up, hammer down, beat the Spartans, beat the Buckeyes, and rest in peace, Rondale Moore.
Boiler up.